I know you've all heard of Morningstar, and one of Morningstar's stars is Christine Benz, Director of Personal Finance and author of two books, The 30-Minute Money Solutions, A Step-by-Step Guide to Managing Your Finances, and The Morningstar Guide to Mutual Funds. Hey, Christine, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Today, I want to talk about how much cash for emergencies should a person put aside. You know, some people say 3 months, some people say 6 months. It seems like those answers are a little too simple. How do you look at things?
Yeah, I do think it's important to customize your cash holdings to your own personal situation. I know the old rule of thumb, the one I learned in the Certified Financial Planner program, was 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses. That's what everyone needs. That's a blunt instrument. Yeah. Many people need significantly more than that.
Mm-hmm. All right. And it's not quite so simple. It takes a little bit of more complicated thinking. So let's take us through that. The first one you wrote in a recent article was, what is your life stage? What does that mean?
Well, it really depends on whether you're working and still earning an income or whether you're retired. So for people who are still earning an income, maybe employed in some sort of a full-time setting, they may be willing to get or they may be able to get away with a lower cash cushion, maybe that 3 to 6 months or something in that ballpark is reasonable. For people who are retired, I typically recommend 1 to 2 years worth of true cash instruments. And the basic idea there, the reason as a retiree you'd want to hold more, is that you could encounter a poor stock market or maybe a terrible bond market where we see bond yields shoot up and that hurts bond prices. You don't want to be a seller in those environments. You don't want to have to sell your securities to meet your living expenses. You want to have enough liquid assets on hand to tide you through those weak periods for the market.
So let's talk about that. So as a retiree, I think having 1 to 2 years in cash when cash is like earning next to zero would be problematical. Would you agree to accepting short or intermediate term bonds?
Possibly with a portion of the cash cushion. Mm-hmm. The thing I look at today is that when you're venturing into some sort of a bond product, you have interest rate risk, and yet yields aren't substantially higher than you can earn on a cash account today. So you might be able to find an online savings account that can give you 1%. Mm-hmm. Well, even a high-quality short-term bond fund might be at 1.5%.
Right.
So you kind of have to weigh, am I willing to take the interest rate risk there, the risk of having a little bit of a loss relative to my ability to pick up a little bit more yield?
Yeah, and you're talking about a double whammy. You're talking about not only the stock market going down, you don't want to draw from your stock portfolio while it's down. And then you think, well, I've got my bonds, but you're thinking also, well, if we have this rapid rise in interest rates, then bond prices are going to go down. So this, you know, relatively low probability of both happening. It has happened. It doesn't happen very often, but that's what the cash would be for that probability of both markets being down.
Right, right. Okay. Because as I said, you just don't want to be a seller in such an environment. But diversification is the name of the game. You want to have bonds, you want to have stocks, you want to have cash, because the probability of everything being down at any given point in time is really low, especially cash, obviously.
Okay, so we talked about life stages. The second question you want to ask yourself is, how stable is your income?
Right. Yeah. It's a really important consideration today because you've got so many people who are participating in the gig economy in some way. Mm-hmm. I've got more and more friends who have taken on work as contractors, and it can be really lucrative while they're working. The crucial point to make, though, is that they might sometimes have significant disruptions in their income where they might go without a job for 3 months or so.
Yeah.
So if you are someone whose income tends to be lumpy for whatever reason, it's crucial to have enough cash set aside.
Absolutely.
So that you're not having to invade your retirement assets or your other long-term assets just to meet your living expenses.
Yeah, you know, and this is something that's very important. It's a little bit off topic, but something that I've thought about that many people do not talk about. And the fact is that when you have your long-term investment assets like your 401k, and you have a job that's not necessarily stable, let's say it's in a cyclical industry, the worst thing that can happen to you is that you lose your job, and at the same time, the stock market is down because the economy is weak. Perhaps that's the reason you've lost your job. And now you have to dip into your 401k at the worst possible time when stocks are depressed. And, you know, it's a double whammy. So that's why if you have a cyclical type of job or you work in a cyclical industry, it's really good to have more cash outstanding than I think a person in a more stable industry.
That's such a good point. The investment philosopher, writer Bill Bernstein has called the definition of risk bad returns in bad times, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you hold cash mm-hmm. to help ensure that you're not losing your job in a bad market and then having to sell stuff, sell securities in that weak market as well.
My guest is Christine Benz. She is a director of personal finance at Morningstar. Christine, so here's another one. Are you the sole earner in your household? Why is that important?
Well, it's important because if you are part of a dual income family, that means that you have at least one other income still coming in the door. It's very unlikely that you would both lose your jobs at the same time. So it does provide a little bit more buffer than the person who's the sole earner. Mm-hmm. If you are the main person earning a salary in your household, I think that argues for having a larger cash cushion than the person who's part of the dual income family.
Yeah, the chances of both of you losing jobs is a much lower probability than just one person, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Question here, can you access cash in other ways? When we talk about cash, we discussed this a little bit before, but what are we talking about? What is cash to the average person?
Well, cash is your checking and savings account. You might have CDs, money market accounts, online savings accounts. Those are true cash instruments. You mentioned short-term bonds. If you had some sort of a high-quality short-term bond fund, mm-hmm. that might be next line reserves in case your cash cushion were depleted. And then you might think of additional sources of funds if you absolutely needed them. So a lot of people hold a home equity line of credit for this very reason,
right. That
in case they lose their jobs, they'd rather have that HELOC available to them than have to apply for it when they don't have a job and are unlikely to have that line of credit extended. So HELOC would be one idea. Another thing I often tell young people to think about is start a Roth IRA, because while you don't want to have to rate it and you want to leave the money to grow for your retirement, worst case scenario, you can withdraw your contributions at any time and for any reason.
Yeah.
So that's another potential source of funds.
I think the key word, and this is a word that I want everybody to know and to learn, is liquidity, the ability to turn something into cash immediately. That's why a checking account, a savings account are highly liquid. I guess even to a certain extent, a long-term CD, even though there may be a penalty associated with turning it in, it's still liquid and you'll still get your money back. You'll just get a little bit less interest. And this would be different than your home, for example, which is incredibly highly illiquid if liquidity is defined as the ability to turn money into cash on a moment's notice. What about keeping cash aside for the opportunistic investor? I know that I was just at the Berkshire annual shareholder meeting and Warren Buffett was up there and he was saying, you know, he's got $95 billion in cash waiting for opportunities. I think the rest of us have a significantly less amount. But what about this idea about leaving cash aside for investment opportunities?
I think that it's a perfectly reasonable idea. Certainly when we look across the best investment managers, in addition to Warren Buffett, that's one commonality that I see among many of them, is that many of them are willing to say, you know what, I think that the markets, I'm just not finding a lot to buy yeah. in today's market. I'm going to wait until other people are selling, and that's when I'll dive in. So I think for individual investors, especially now, given that we have had this tremendous ascent in the U.S. market, investors who perhaps want to keep a little extra aside and know that they will deploy that money into the stock market if it takes a dip, I think that's a perfectly reasonable strategy. In fact, I like the idea of also compiling a watch list,
mm-hmm.
whether you're an individual stock investor or someone who invests in funds, that you might say, I really like the way that this manager manages assets. I just don't want to commit additional assets to the U.S. market right now. Go ahead and compile that watch list. In addition to having your cash ready, you also have some ideas ready.
Good advice from Christine Benz, Morningstar's Director of Personal Finance. Thanks so much for joining us, Christine.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure.
To hear this interview again and to join the conversation, don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com.